All right, well, here we are, Easter 2020. And Easter, we will never forget. The Easter in quarantine, right? The Easter in waiting. And don't you just love to wait, right? Don't we all just love waiting? We're all just such patient people, right? Wrong. We all hate waiting. We don't like to wait. And I was thinking about the idea of waiting and during the season of waiting, and what are the things in my life that I miss waiting on that used to drive me crazy? What are the things in your life that you miss waiting on right now that used to drive you maybe a little crazy? I started to think, here's a few in my life. Don't you miss waiting in line for a table at your favorite restaurant because they misplaced your reservation? Don't you just wish you could just wait in your favorite restaurant? Right now, I can just smell the aroma coming off the screen of Jay Alexander's right now. Or what about, don't you miss waiting in the lines at your favorite stadium? I mean, imagine just being able to go into Comerica Park right now and wait in all the different lines on the Ferris wheel or the merry-go-round and just waiting in the different lines. Or what about the idea of waiting and going through the hustle and bustle of the kid drop-off and pick-up at school? Don't you just wish you could just drop them back off into the school? You know what I mean? But just a little shout-out again to all you teachers, and man, how much we love you and miss you and appreciate you. Or what about this one, fellas, okay? Don't you just miss waiting on your girl as she shops, and you could just be sitting here like these guys in the mall? Just don't you just miss waiting on your girl as she shops? Or what about, don't you miss just waiting in line at the Secretary of State or the DMV? Well, maybe I took that a little too far. None of us miss waiting in line at the Secretary of State. We're all in the season of waiting this Easter. The season of how long? We all have this soundtrack of the how long song being played over our lives. How long? How long will this last? How long will we have to stay in our homes? How long until we can see our loved ones face to face again? And, you know, last week, as our president said, you know, taking this quarantine through the end of April and who knows how long, I think all of us had to kind of roll up our sleeves, if you will, to say, okay, look at this. Might get worse before it gets better. And the longer this goes on, the more all of us are going to be tested. Which reminds me of the very first Easter. Because right before the very first Easter, they felt this exact tension. They were in a season of waiting. They were asking the question, how long? How long, God? How long is there going to be this isolation? This isolation between us and you, God. This separation between us and you, God. How long will we have to carry and deal with this disease? But it was a different kind of disease. It wasn't a COVID disease. It was a sin disease that was way worse, that was causing death that would last forever. And everyone was asking, how long? But at the first Easter, a solution came. A solution came that changed everything. And those that were around at that first Easter and had an open mind and dropped their guard and believed and had faith because of what they saw with their own eyes, it changed everything for them. And it gave them hope that came out of the waiting. And if you and I would allow the first Easter to affect the Easter of our lives today in 2020, we too can grab onto that hope, even during the season of waiting. But before we dive into the Easter story today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me. Father, thank you for this day. And Father, I just ask right now that you would help us all to tune in, distraction-free, to allow this story to invade our own stories. Father, I ask that you would help my mind and my tongue as I communicate. And I just pray this in the power of your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, all of us we have this sin problem, right? We're all kind of rebels inside, some of us more than others, right? But we all have this problem, this sin disease problem that has to be solved, that has to be taken care of, so we don't have this isolation between us and God. And so for thousands of years, different leaders, different prophets would rise and fall, and there would be this stirring, there would be this hope that, oh, it's finally here. But then time and time again, there would be letdown after letdown after letdown, until the first Easter, because God sent the solution. God sent the cure. And it was more than just a leader. It was more than just a prophet. It was his chosen one, his one and only son, Jesus. And when he was here, he did miracle after miracle. He showed off his power, how he could control the wind and the waves. He healed the sick. He helped people rise from the dead. He literally defied gravity by walking on water, and the list goes on and on. But he didn't just come here to show off his power. He came to heal and fix the sin disease once and for all. He literally was the one and only vaccine. And I'm telling you what, when I think about that, it just blows my mind. Because he didn't have to do it, but he did. And why did he do it? Because he loved you. He loved me so much. And so he allowed himself to be arrested. He allowed himself to be put on trial. He allowed himself to go through the horrific beating of a crucifixion. And that's where we pick up the story, just after Jesus died. It says in Luke 23, verses 48 through 49, it says, "And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching." Which kind of brings up two other things that we have in common with the first Easter story. The first, for all you Miles City family, notice how those from Galilee have the exact same symbol as us as Miles City. Always got to point that out. That's amazing. And then the other thing is that they stood at a distance watching. Ladies and gentlemen, there was social distancing at the very first Easter. I can just hear you laughing. Okay, bad joke. All right, come on. But let's just get into this for a second here. Let's get into the emotion of this. It says that after Jesus had died, it says that they went home in deep sorrow. It says that they went home in deep sorrow. I mean, think about this. They had all this hope. They had all this, man, this was finally it. We finally had the chosen one. We finally had the solution to this disease. And now he was dead and he was walking. They walked away in deep sorrow, which brings up this truth, is that disappointment in the waiting is real. Disappointment in the waiting is so real. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about right now. Because in our season of waiting right now, there is a sorrow. There is a hurt. There is a disappointment that all of us have had to deal with in some way or another. I mean, I think of you seniors right now, not being able to finish your senior year, not being able to have closure to your high school years. I think of you athletes that work so hard for this specific season of a sport that you're in, and now you had it all figured out in your team, and you guys can't show off what you guys put together. I think of many of you that had trips or occasions or vacations that you planned and were so excited to go on, and you just had to let them go by, and you just thought of, pictured being wherever you were going. And I know sometimes you think, well, yeah, I mean, but I don't want to talk about that too much because there's so many other issues, so many other problems going on in the world right now, and my sorrow is not that big of a deal. It might not compare, but it's still a sorrow. It's still a letdown. It's still a hurt. Some of you have had to delay your wedding. Some of you have lost your job. You're wondering if your business is going to make it, even with the stimulus. You're wondering, okay, how is this going to play out? Some of you have lost a loved one because of this season, because of this virus. Some of you have lost people in other ways during this season of waiting. And you've had to have a virtual funeral, which is just hard. To grieve without the human interaction is so tough. There's disappointment in the waiting, and that disappointment is real. And this is how they were feeling
as they walked away from Jesus hanging on the cross. And every minute and every second that went by, the grief and the pain and the disappointment just kept rising to the surface. But the story kept going. There was another chapter. There was something stirring in the ground. There was something happening. There was a battle that was taking place. And here's how the story continues. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this," this was Mary Magdalene and her and some of her friends. It says, "While they were perplexed about this, behold," it said that two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened, as I would be too, it says that they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. He is not here. Jesus has risen," continues. And they said to them, "Remember how he told you?" And they're probably scratching their head. Remember what he told us? What? What did he tell us? What did he tell us? "Remember what he told you? That while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and then be crucified and then on the third day rise? Remember when he told you that?" Oh yeah, he did tell us that. And as their minds started to grasp what they were saying, here's what it says. They remembered his words. They remembered what he said. And then they returned from the tomb. They started running back to the home of where the disciples were. And they started to tell the 11 and to all the rest. And as he began to tell the story of what they saw, of what they heard, that Jesus had risen from the grave, that he was no longer in the tomb, it says that these words to the disciples, it seemed to them like an idle tale. And they did not believe them. As they told the story, they just heard it and said, idle tale. That's just nonsense. Which tells us two things. One, fellas, listen to the ladies. Two, questioning and the waiting is real. Questioning in the season of waiting is so real. I mean, Jesus' closest followers were not by the tomb. They weren't standing by the tomb getting ready for the resurrection on Sunday morning like New Year's Eve. All right, 10, 9, 8. No. They weren't hiding. They were questioning. They're frustrated, maybe angry, maybe ticked off, thinking, "Come on, God, did you trick us? Was this a hoax? Come on. I mean, we followed Jesus for 3 years of our lives. We left, some of them left our family businesses. How embarrassing now that we go back to our homes with our tail between our legs." Like, I mean, questioning. Questioning in the waiting. What are you questioning in this season of waiting? Maybe for some of you, you're questioning your identity. Because a lot of times, right, what we do, our identity can come from by the things that we do. And a lot of us aren't exercising our talents and our giftings and in what we do. And so in this season, it kind of starts to question, okay, where is my identity? Maybe for some of you, you're questioning your relationships. Because of the social distancing, you're not by specific people right now, and you're wondering, okay, how real is that relationship? Or maybe you think about the people that you're quarantined in with. And you're starting to see the depth of those relationships or the lack of depth in those relationships. And so it's starting to make you question, and man, what a time to work on our marriages. What a time to work on our relationship with our children. What a time to work on our relationship with our brother or our sister. Questioning and the waiting is real. Maybe for some of you, it's questioning your purpose, questioning why you wake up every morning, questioning the idea of what happens when you die, questioning your eternity, questioning your destiny. And maybe you can relate with the disciples were, they said, you know, this whole idea of Jesus and the resurrection, that's just a fairy tale. That's just an idle tale. That's just nonsense. But for some reason right now, there is this questioning in you, right? You know that stirring in you where you're starting to wonder, why do I exist? Why am I here? This is the time to take advantage of this time and investigate it. And this is the perfect place to start. Because if you can figure out if Jesus truly rose from the dead, then every other question that you have about faith will answer itself. Take the time. Investigate. There is so much evidence. There is so much proof that Jesus truly rose from the dead, and it has the power to change your life. I dare you. Don't put it off any longer. Use this stirring, this questioning, and go after it. And I'm telling you, as I have found, man, I truly believe that it takes more faith to not believe that it happened than to believe that it happened. There's questioning in the waiting, and that questioning in the waiting is real. And so you've got John, you've got Peter hearing this, and the curiosity kept stirring inside of them, and finally they were like, all right, enough's enough. And it's as they started taking off running to the tomb. And John actually writes about this in the book of John, chapter 20. And so he's writing about himself and Peter running to the tomb. And so here's how it says. It says, both of them were running. So he's including himself. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Which always makes me laugh that John wanted to let everyone know that he was faster than Peter. It says that in stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. It continues. He saw the linen clothes lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, there he is again, just letting everyone know, we get it, you're the faster one, also went in. And then what happens next? Changes everything for John. It changes everything for John, because when he looked in there, when he went in, it says that he saw and believed. It says that he saw and believed. And come on, John was with Jesus for 3 years. He was on a journey with 3 years. It wasn't about all the things that he said, even all the miracles that he did before, but it was when he looked into the tomb and saw the empty grave, the empty tomb, it changed everything for John. It gave John a new perspective of who he was. It gave him a new destiny. It changed his eternity. It rescued him from the power of sin and from the power of death. It changed the way that he viewed his life and how he handled the different circumstances of his life. The different how long songs of how to actually turn down the how long songs. How do you turn down the how long songs? The songs of fear, the songs of pain, the songs of suffering. He learned that as you turn down the how long song, it's by cranking up the resurrection song over your life. And the same that is true for John can be the same for you and for me if we allow the resurrection song to play loud within our lives. What does it do? What does it do? It takes our disappointment and it turns it into hope. It takes our questioning and it turns it into assurance. It takes our sorrow and it lifts it into joy, our anxiety into this anticipation. It takes our temporary perspective of things that we don't see to an eternal perspective, to things that we don't see. It's unbelievable. It changes our perspective, even in the waiting. And for those of you that have believed, that have put your faith and trust in Jesus and have the resurrection song playing, maybe some of us need to crank it up a little bit louder. Maybe past 11, if you will. You've got to crank up the resurrection song in the season of waiting. So when we're in the season of waiting, we don't just wait, right? We work because we're cranking up the resurrection song. In this season of waiting, we don't just wait. We proclaim because we're cranking up the resurrection song. In this season of waiting, we don't just wait or we don't just pout. No, we fight. We conquer because we're cranking up the resurrection song. We don't just wait. No. We sacrifice. We give because we're cranking up the resurrection song. We don't just wait. We hope because we're cranking up the resurrection song. We have a confidence. We have an assurance. We have an expectation to what is to come because we're cranking up the resurrection song. Are you cranking up the resurrection song in your life in this season of waiting? Or have you allowed the resurrection song to ever be played in your life? And if you haven't, my question is, what are you waiting for? And right now, I want to give you the opportunity to believe and to let the resurrection song play loud in your life right now. Let me pray for us. As we pray, wherever you're listening, my question for you is, what are you waiting for? In this season of waiting, you might not have all the answers, you might not have it all figured it out, but what are you waiting for? It's time to let go and grab onto the hope of the resurrection of Jesus in your life. You can't fix your sin disease problem. Only Jesus can. And he loves you so much. I mean, and if you don't allow him to do that, then the scripture says that you're going to be separated from him forever. You're going to literally be in isolation forever. I'm like, look, we're in isolation right now, but we still can FaceTime and talk to people. This is literally isolation for eternity without the people or the things that you love. And the scriptures even talk about, I'm not going to go in, but the scripture says it's even coupled with pain. But that doesn't have to happen for you. There's hope in the waiting. And God loved you so much that he sent Jesus and he died and he rose from the dead so that there doesn't have to be isolation or separation. And it's not by what you do. It's not by how you behave. It's by believing. And so right now, I just want to give you the shot to just, the chance to just say, I'm going to let go and believe. Just say this right now. Just a real conversation and just say, Father, here I am. I know you've been waiting on me. Right now, I let it go. And I give my life to you. Thank you for curing my sin disease by dying and rising again. Tell him that. Right now, I want you to be the king over my life. Right now, I crank up the resurrection song over my life. As you continue to pray, I want you to know that the scriptures say because of your belief that you are saved. And that lasts forever and your life truly begins now. Father, thank you for the gift of your resurrection. Thank you for the hope it brings us as we walk through this through these days. Thank you for the power it gives us, the freedom it gives us every day, God. Give us the strength to continually crank up the resurrection song in our lives. We love you and we pray this in the power of your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Well, hey, listen, if you made that decision for the very first time, man, we want to celebrate with you. And so do me a favor, would you just grab your phone and just text the word Faith Move to the number on the screen right now. And one of our team just wants to have a conversation with you, talk to you about what it looks like to keep moving towards God on your new journey of having the resurrection be a part of your life.